Morning is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, very familiar verse, verses 1 through 8. Let us stand for the hearing and reading of God's holy word. Let's stand, please. And this is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Lord, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, implant it into our hearts and lives this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated, please. You know, we have something that the world does not have. We have hope for eternity. We have here, as John says, the Word who will indwell us. And that Word was in the beginning, as John tells us. In fact, he was with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, creating everything that existed back then and even today. So we rejoice that the Word was in the beginning. He didn't just come at the Christmas time when we think of the Virgin Mary and the baby Jesus then. He was even before anything was created. He was, he is, and he will always remain. So the Word was eternal, is eternal, and will always be eternal. And the Word was with God, and not only that, this is very important because if you've ever read a Jehovah's Witness Bible, they interject a word at this next. And the Word, they say, was a God. Now, how does that little tiny one-letter word change the meaning of that? It changes it completely, doesn't it? Because that means that Jesus was not really God. He was something less than Jehovah God. He was a mere lesser God. But that's not the way the scriptures present this short phrase. And the Word was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one, uniquely fashioned together according to their own plan and purpose, by their power. Jesus was the Word, and that's important too, thinking of what are words? Speaking or written, that's how we communicate, isn't it? Sometimes we don't listen quite as well, do we, men? My wife reminds me of that so often. Are you listening to me? I said, sure, what did I just say? You told me not to do this. No, she doesn't do that to me, really, sometimes. But anyway, the Word is what is speaking through John the Baptist and so many of the other disciples through the power and working of the Holy Spirit. So the Word here is capitalized for that reason. It represents and it tells us that Jesus is the Word. And all this Word that we have that we love to read and meditate on looks to this Word. And we should always have thankful hearts that the Word is Jesus and we can read his Word, that we don't have to right now be afraid that someone's going to come in and get all of our Bibles and throw us in prison like they do in other countries. No, we have the freedom to read it. But so often, guess what takes place in America? We don't read the Word to find out about the Word. And that's a sad thing. How many churches are there in America? I don't know. But I can guarantee you there's a bunch in Tipton County, aren't there? And some are more Word-related than others. The closer we get to the Word, we will see and begin to understand what God's will is for us, what God has for us to do and to accomplish. I mean, you read through there and you see that we are called upon to be witnesses and ambassadors. We are to witness about what took place, just like the shepherds did when they came and saw the babe with Mary and Joseph. What did they do? Did they go back to their hills and forget about it? They went abroad proclaiming this good news, didn't they? They were so inspired because something took place that really they were not expecting. They were not expecting, but man, they were so happy and thrilled that they were made a part of that event where they could go out and proclaim this great good news. So the Word Jesus was in the very beginning. Never did it come to any other way. He was in the beginning with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, and they worked together. And the next verse, verse 3, says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So you see how vital it is to see and understand who this Word is and the power of the Word, this Word. All things, not just some things. If you go back and read that first chapter in Genesis, what was created? They're not only cattle, creeping things, everything that exists. So all things were made through him. It's like the power was going through him in creating all these beings and creatures and separating the dry land from the waters. All those things were being done through the Word, through the Lord Jesus. Is there any other place that we can find life eternal? I mean, we talk about life, a better life. We have a better life in America than probably the vast majority of countries across the world. But is that the life that John is talking about? Those things pass away, don't they? I mean, just think of it. My father, my mother, there was a joke says that there wasn't a U-Haul or a wagon being pulled behind their hearse. In that casket was my mom and my dad. Nothing else except some covers. So through him, everything was made. And without him, nothing was made that was made or that it exists even to this point. So again, we should rejoice. Now, in him was life. Now, when a person dies, does that person have life anymore? I hated to see. In fact, I didn't get to see my dad. I had total knee replacement, so I didn't get to go to South Carolina. But I knew that that body was in the casket, but my father was in heaven with his Lord. I knew that because I knew how I was raised, and I knew how he lived, how he spoke, and everything that he did. Now, that didn't mean he didn't spare the rod with his three sons. He didn't get my sister, though, too much. That's the one thing that always kind of, I wondered, did they have a special instrument for my sister? Is that true? No. There's one head shaking, no. So anyway, life was in Jesus. The life that leads to life eternal, eternity in heaven. When we die, our bodies remain behind. Our souls, our spirits are taken. They're up in the air. And if 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that last section of that chapter says, though, that we will meet him in the air, the things shall be put back together. And Revelation speaks of it, saying that a new world, a new order will be created by God. And that's what we're looking forward to. So things don't end when we are buried in the ground. Because this life that John is talking about far exceeds death and anything else. And nothing is more glorious than this life that the Apostle John is speaking of through Jesus. And it was also a light. You know, this is sort of hard to explain, but when I first became a Christian, you know, I was a little rough around the edges, and so I kind of made some people angry the way I presented things. But I grew, and finally people began to see what John says here, a light coming from me. Not an actual light, but a light of who I am now. In fact, one of my best friends, we played 5 years of football together in junior high and high school. He asked me personally, he said, "What has happened to you?" And I had never gone to a discipleship training thing. I just told him what happened. He knew I went to church all the time, but he also knew how I was outside of church. And so he saw that I didn't do those things outside of church like I used to. He said, "Something has happened." And so I shared with him what took place. And I don't know exactly, but that friend of mine, he became a Christian later. And I was so thankful and rejoiced that the light was now shining in him. And he told me, he said, "You know, you didn't say anything to me. You didn't try to browbeat me or anything, but I saw how you lived differently, and I wanted that same thing." And so he received the Lord Jesus Christ in his life, and that transformed him, and that light was shining forth in him. And the people that knew him, now we were different, because he wasn't afraid to go up to somebody that said something bad and really knock them flat, because he was that strong. But that changed. His attitude, his way of reacting and acting changed. And so you see, the reason why I say that, this light that is shining forth in our lives should not be concealed. In fact, it cannot be concealed. What does the Bible say? Be upon a hill, burning bright, right? And so, not that we're drawing attention to ourselves, but we will have people come to us and say, who have known us, and ask maybe those very same questions. See, this light is shining forth in a world of darkness, but the darkness never will be able to comprehend it. But because the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts and our lives, we comprehend what has taken place as the Word has proclaimed it. That because of Jesus, we have been transformed and renewed and made new, actually new creatures, new creations, because of who he is in our lives. So darkness cannot comprehend what the light does in a person's life. And it will transform. It will totally transform and renew a person. Now, this John talks about the other John that baptized Jesus, John the Baptizer. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe." Now, what did John do? You remember what the scriptures say? You know, he was baptizing hundreds and thousands of people into Jordan. And when Jesus came in, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Isn't that what John said? See, so he was pointing to Jesus, and there was, I don't know, I couldn't tell you how many people heard what he said and saw who he was pointing to. And does that not boggle your mind a little bit? You know, all they were wanting to do is come down and be dunked under the water. They weren't too concerned about this person John was pointing to. Let's get things going. There's a lot of people. Not too much different from the day, is it? When 12 o'clock came around, when I was in Spartanburg ARP Church, if Reverend White, I was telling this to the choir. If he went over 12 o'clock, there was one elderly school teacher. She would grab hold of the pew and look like this at him. And then if he went longer, she pulled herself up. If he was going maybe 8 minutes after 12, she got her keys out and did this. And we younger folks, I was younger back then, it was all we could do to refrain from laughing. But she was telling him it was time to cut it. You've been preaching now for over 30 minutes. So, man, wonder what they would do with some that preached 35 or 40 minutes. If it was powerful preaching, I wouldn't care. I said, why are you stopping? You know, that's the difference. You know, if the preaching is word-related, powerful, Holy Spirit-inspired, we shouldn't be too much worried about time unless we are diabetic or something like that. Then we say, and just excuse yourself. I can remember going up to Carlisle, Pennsylvania to some of those meetings, and those men from South Africa and Scotland and England, they preach sometimes 40, 45 minutes. But I want to tell you, I had to look at my watch, see what time it was, because, you know, some places tell us you've been sitting too long. But though, I tell you what, when the word is preached, it is penetrating, because when the word is preached by the power of the Holy Spirit, it does exactly what the Bible says it will do. It will penetrate hearts. It will convict. It will convict to the power of salvation or condemn. You know, sometimes that happens. Well, I can't believe that. But anyway, the see that because of the darkness cannot comprehend it. And Satan, who is the king of darkness, does not want anyone to come to the light. So whatever he can do to stop people from hearkening to the light, he's going to try. He's going to put other people, maybe even our own families members. Oh, you don't really believe that, all that stuff. You know, thank the Lord my family was raised me in the church, even though I wasn't a Christian at that point. But I was raised and heard the preaching, and then the Holy Spirit got hold of my heart and saved me from my world of darkness into his glorious light and life. So John came to bear witness of Jesus, that he was the light that had been prophesied to come into the world, and he was coming to set men and women free from the power and bondage of sin. So we have today a message that we need to repeat to ourselves, that as John bore witness, so we can bear witness to ourselves and testify that he is my Lord, through faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way it comes. It doesn't come by going to Sunday school class. Now, they can be used, or communicants class. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, can use all those things. Because personally, I believe all those years I spent in Sunday school, the Lord was using all those Sunday school teachers and my preachers to penetrate this cold stone heart. And at the age of 19, I became a Christian. So I rejoice in that. And we need to rejoice that we are his sons and daughters today. So, is he our greatest hope, or is he not? He is, if you are a believer, he is our greatest hope. He has secured for all of us who are his the hope of eternity. Not hell, but the hope of eternity in heaven. And that is the first thing that we can rejoice, because that's true. If we receive Jesus right now and we were to die, we would go to heaven. But most of the time, we get to live a life. But our lives should be reflecting, as John is indicating here, the light that penetrated our own hearts. Penetrating us so that we can point and say, this is the light of the world that saved me from a life of bondage and sin. And I really did not have an eternity to look forward to. So do we rejoice? Are we rejoicing? And I hope and pray that we can say, yes, we are. Yes, we will. And we will continue until I don't have breath. I can't remember which psalm it is. I always have to say it's in the Bible, but I know it's in the Psalms somewhere. The only time we cease as children of God, praising God, is when we die. And then we're almost, it's like turning the volume up. You're barely able to hear it to where it's blasting. We really praise and worship when we go to heaven to be with our Lord. But while we live here on this earth and even meet here in this congregation, in this church, we let that light spread. Because who knows, one of us may be hurting and no one else knows it. And if we walk around, oh Lord, it's me, another long sermon, then we're not going to help anybody. We're definitely not helping ourselves. So is Jesus the light that shines in a world of darkness? Say yes. Amen? Is he the light that shines in our hearts and through our lives? Amen. See, Presbyterians can say amen. Can't they? There's nothing wrong with that. All that means is so be it. I said, when I read something that really jumps out at me in the Word, I say, so be it. Amen to that, which I just read. And maybe I read it hundreds of times. But our greatest hope that we can take into this new year is that Jesus is the second person in the Trinity. He is the eternal Word, and through him and only through him do we receive salvation. Okay, let's keep that in our minds and hearts. And when those people coming around wanting to give us books that don't testify to that, you know what? I take the books. You know why? Because that's less that they have to give out. And you know what I do with those books? File 13. Because they're proclaiming falsehood. This word this morning is proclaiming the truth. And if you've ever had to put your hand on the Bible in the courtroom, say, nothing but the truth. It is the truth. Because Jesus is the truth. Amen? Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true completely. There's no error in it. We find strength and renewing power through the Holy Spirit through it. And this morning, this paper explained to us that Jesus is the living Word, the Word, and that He is so vital in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for who Jesus is and will always be, and nothing shall ever diminish Him or who He is and what He has to offer to any human being through faith in Him. So, Lord, again, thank You that men like John the Baptist and the Apostle John were pointing to the living Word, even for us here in 2022. So work in our hearts and lives that we may be shining examples ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.